Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner and Tom Dean. How you doing today, Tom?
I am doing really well, thank you.
Yes. Well, listen, I've heard good stuff about you. I was talking to my friend David the other day, David Hancock, and he was mentioning you. And there's just you're doing good stuff all over the world, and you're here today, and we're talking about some of the cutting edge changes that are happening. My first book came out in 2004, and it certainly is not the same publishing world. What's changed since 2004?
Really think about that. 16 years, there's several things that come to mind. The evolution of multiple formats, first of all, you know, the ebook craze just took off in the last decade, really.
Yeah.
And then the audiobook phenomenon really has probably in the last 4 years, 4 to 5 years, been a significant player in how people consume content. So yeah. There's that. And then there's the huge one, like the retail landscape. I mean, 16 years ago, you still had multiple major chains. You had Borders, you had Walden's may have been gone, I can't remember. Definitely Borders was a big player. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, thinking about those national chains. Yes. On the general market side. And then on the Christian side, you know, there was Lifeway and Family Christian Stores. And combined, those two chains were over 500 retail brick and mortar spots. Mm. And honestly, even independent Christian bookstores in its heyday was like 10,000 like 15 years ago. And today there's probably maybe 1,200 mom and pop independent Christian bookstores.
You probably didn't know this. My parents in Milwaukee, Wisconsin used to own The Apple of His Eye, and it was a Christian bookstore. And I don't think I've ever shared that before, but
no.
Now that you bring that up, so that was like early 80s, man. That was a long time ago. But you know, with Keith Green and Sandy Patty and all those things going on. So you shared a stat the other day about audiobooks though. What did you say that Audible users consume how much per day?
Yeah, so Audible, just for context, Audible is really kind of owns the audiobook market. I mean, I think 90% probably, or high 80s% of audiobook content is consumed through the Audible platform. And their research is just, they just watched how much their consumers were listening, and it was 112 minutes a day.
112 minutes a day.
Right. Yep.
Wow. Well, I fully agree, because I mean, yesterday I did 90 in one sitting, like cycling, you know?
Sure.
And my friends say, how do you read so much? And it's because I listen to audiobooks.
Yeah. Right.
That's amazing. So we have a lot of people jumping in. We have several from London. We have Nashville, we have New York, we have Scotland in the house. So folks, this is a chance for you in the next 25 minutes to ask questions related to writing, publishing, and marketing.
Yes.
Michael from Montreal is on our team, and he's posting the link for Wednesday's big major training, which is our final one of 2020. And it's called Unwrap Your Bestseller Book. And we're going to talk about all the shifts that have happened and how to take advantage of this opportunity. But other thoughts today as you're thinking about Tom, just publishing in general. Why? So you might have readers say, well, if Borders closed and if all these Christian stores closed, readership is down. And yet from all my research, because of COVID and other things, readership is up. So how does the author today pivot with all these details you're sharing?
Well, it really kind of like the number one thing I tell authors is Amazon is the 24/7 bookstore. So whatever, however you are portraying yourself via Amazon, whatever your book, I mean, it just has to be robust. So there has to be a really good synopsis. There has to be a really good description. If there's video, a video trailer, it should be posted there. Amazon gives you the opportunity to do an A+ page that could highlight some endorsements, maybe. Your Amazon author profile should be robust. If you've got a blog or something, you make sure that the RSS feed is feeding your Amazon author page. So, I mean, you just have to like remember that Amazon is the bookstore that's open 24/7, 365 days a year.
And they have such customer loyalty where, you know, if you're a Prime member, you pretty much can get it the next day or the next day.
Right.
And even the whole, hey, we know what you're looking at. We know what books we would suggest to you. So it's not just this random stranger at a bookstore. Hey, who are you? What are you looking for? They pretty much know you. And that even gets into my book, Unhackable, how they're studying you. But is that, are these advantages? Because there's two ways to look at everything. One way is the negative, oh, border shut down. COVID is, you know, affecting Barnes & Noble. The other is to say readership is up and now Amazon can study you.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the algorithms that Amazon plays with to feed you, you know, like new books, new content is a good thing, I think. I mean, my heart is always for the local independent, you know, bookstore, whether it's a Christian bookstore or a non-Christian bookstore. You know, so I'm always encouraging authors too to like figure out a way to support. I mean, when things are back, when people are out, you know, more frequently, hopefully things aren't so shut down. Whatever you can do to drive business through your local retailer, we need our retailers to succeed.
Yes.
I mean, as much as we place a high value on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or the other online, you know, booksellers, we need our brick and mortars to survive.
Very cool. I love that. And my mom in Milwaukee, she partnered with her local bookstore to do book signings.
Yes.
And she had a good showing, you know. So she didn't just say, hey, can I partner with you for your bookstore? She then went and sent all of her family, friends, anybody, and said, I'm going here.
Good
and
for her.
So it was a win-win-win.
Yep. You know? Yes.
The family and friends won because they were able to get a signed book. The bookstore was so happy. They said, come back again anytime for a second one. And then she won because it gave people a reason to say, oh, I'm going to go out and see her. So what about that? Thoughts on going to a local bookstore for a book signing if you're an author?
Mm-hmm. Oh, without question. I mean, if you have, especially if you can, I mean, a lot of the onus to bring people in will be on you, but most bookstores, especially the small, like the independents, they've got their own email list. They should be
advertising it,
cultivating their list, making sure that there's in-store signage, get that book up front, you know, in the store placement. you know, if you're a part of a church and there's, or, you know, the book club, like the local book clubs, if it's a book club, kind of a book opportunity, make sure that they're, that you're capitalizing on that. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. Do you know that at the Igniting Souls conference, maybe you do know about this, but we have the conference and then we have a mega store. We're talking about the Barnes & Noble with the elevator, I mean, multi-floor at Polaris shopping mall in Columbus, Ohio. And they partnered with us the last 3 years, and they buy at least 3 copies, maybe 5, of every author, which means that we did the world's largest. We had over 80 authors and lit up the whole store, stations, book readings with a microphone. So we wanted to do that, but they were happy because they had one of their best selling days.
I bet. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does, you know, it takes some work, but we're happy to do that for our authors. Here's some questions. Rochelle says, do you feel Kindle Unlimited? Now, do you know about this? Because I recently know about this.
Yeah, it's like in my peripheral vision. I haven't looked into it a whole lot.
So what I understand Amazon Kindle or in Kindle Unlimited is that we as authors can choose to have our book in Kindle Unlimited, which means that the customer is on a monthly subscription.
Ah, yes.
So the customer basically says, hey, for $9.99 a month, I can get up to 10 at a time, you know? And then there's a certain group of books that are Kindle Unlimited. And I'll tell you what, I just enrolled about 3 weeks ago because there was one book I was going to buy and it was already Kindle Unlimited. So Amazon said, hey, you're going to buy it anyway. Do you want to do it? And it said 2 months for 99 cents each. Now, I said, well, I'm going to spend $5.99 on that book.
Sure, right.
So now I'm in Kindle Unlimited as a consumer. And then I went in and checked out 10 books that I wouldn't have gotten normally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the problem is that as an author, you don't make as high of royalties.
Yep.
So what do you think? Do you think it's better to go lower on royalty for the sake of getting exposure?
Yep. All day long. Because if your content is good and if it's meeting, you know, if it's hitting a need or meeting a need, people are going to talk about it. And
you know,
word of mouth is something you cannot buy, you cannot pay for. It amplifies your message. It's the opportunity that every author should want and look for is word of mouth.
Ooh, I like that. So Kindle Unlimited, because every book needs this critical mass,
mm-hmm, right?
This tipping point where you got to get so many eyeballs on it. And then once the eyeballs are on it and then they're talking about, then the book kind of sells itself. What do you think?
Yep. And I mean, my goodness, you know, I would imagine you as an author, you can control when you turn that on or turn it off. I mean, test it, try, you know, give it a trial. I mean, so it's a few months of where your royalties may be smaller, but you should be able to have some sense of what kind of volume that is creating.
Well, you resonated. Laura says word of mouth is something money can't buy. Ooh, I think that's a new
boom
tweet. Someone's going to tweet that out and tag Tom on it. And Rochelle, and I think she is right, the royalty goes by word count. In other words, Amazon tracks, did this person read it?
Oh, right.
Versus, did they just claim 10?
Yep.
And again, they're trying to protect themselves.
Sure.
And make it so that, you know, an author can't give $1,000 to their readers and say, everybody go get it on Kindle and just claim it.
Yeah.
But like you said, if you open it, your philosophy is still the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If people are reading it, then it's a good thing. I even recommend, Tom, you know, they got this KDP Select, which basically tells authors that if they want for 90 days, they're only allowing their ebook on Kindle versus Nook and other places. Only on Kindle.
Okay.
90 days. And then what happens is they're able to do these Kindle deals.
Yeah.
For example, a countdown deal, like today it's 99 cents, tomorrow it'll be $1.99, the next. So you can kind of gamify some of these marketing things. But again, your philosophy is still the same. If people are reading it, that's a win. Is that what you're saying?
For sure. Yes. I mean, and you know, the whole idea of a Kindle exclusive for 90 days. I mean, they represent
a lot
of the market. So, I mean, they're just trying to establish themselves, you know, continue to keep establishing themselves. They have to be competitive, but it's the Nooks and the others of the world that have to just like figure out how they can stand out.
Their own. Yeah, definitely. Michael says he used to work in a bookstore and a book signing was important, as important at the store as the authors. Mm. And what I've realized too, you know, even if you only have 5-10 people show, get a photographer. My buddy Mark Thomas is going to like this. In fact, Renee, tag Mark and Shelley photography, but get a photographer there, get some shots, and even post it. And what I've realized is on Facebook, a lot of your friends will see it and say, hey, I live out of town, I couldn't make it, but now you're top of mind. What do you think about that, leveraging the social media?
Oh, yeah, without question. And you know, you talked about even if there's just 5 or 10, and that is a, you know, that's, anytime we at Zondervan, when I was at Zondervan, when we say yes to an author, yes to a book signing, you know, it was always, we always had the caveat, like, you may not have hundreds of people, you may have just a dozen. In fact, I went to a book signing once with Terry Blackstock, who was a New York Times bestselling suspense, Christian suspense author. And there might've been only a dozen people that showed up. And so it's good for, you know, it can be a little humbling. But what Terry did was she spent more time with each person than she could have possibly if there had been 100 people there. And so it was those photo ops. You know, some people would grab their phone and say, oh, my mom can't come. Would you do a video, or, you know, would you video chat with her for a second? You know, so it's those types of, you know, those are going to.
Oh, yeah. She made a client for life.
She made a huge impression. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's those types of opportunities that you may not get if there were lots and lots of people there and you only had 30 seconds to sign each person's book.
Wow. I love that. Melissa says, what do you think about this question?
Well, I mean, price point. I always am cautioning authors, you know, publishers, make sure that the price point is in line with the comp titles for that book. Don't make it look like it's a fire sale. Don't price it out of the market, but don't leave money on the table. So, I mean, you really have to like, it's just a hard, you know, you got to look at everything, the page count, the binding, what the competition's at.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In other words, if something's way out of line, either way, it's not a good thing.
Right. Yeah. I had a client that was selling a Bible for like $67. It was a leather Bible. It was a, you know, and I'm like, that's a non-price. You're leaving money on the, like, sell it for $69.99. That's what all of the competitors are doing. I mean, that $2 is not going to like set you apart that much. You know, you're So anyways, yeah, just
that makes sense. Okay. Got it. Well, I see people here, all kinds of great people. Ask questions, folks. You got 9 minutes left. As we're getting the final questions to come in here, Tom, let's talk about Wednesday, because Wednesday is an opportunity where I'm going to share, as a 5-time traditionally published author, I'm going to share, here's what I did. Here's what I wish I knew. Here's what the publisher expected me to do. In fact, Zondervan was twice, a publisher for me, and I was deeply honored and thankful. But really, I think I'm going to blow apart some mysteries and some myths. And I think that there's a lot of myths out there that when you get traditionally published, you just sit back and cash the checks. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Can you bring some realities to the people here? And is that a bad thing? Like, we always kind of, I'm not saying we don't bash traditional publishers, but you were in one. They're great people.
Right.
They're awesome. You have teams. You've worked with, why do traditional publishers need to take 85%? And are they taking 85%? Are some of that paying for the book, some of that paying for the Barnes & Noble audience that you get, sales teams? Talk, give us the inner circle here.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was, what a publisher does. Well, in our case, so we answered to HarperCollins New York, who was our owner, who answered to News Corp. So there, we weren't a family-owned publisher. Like, there are some still family-owned publishers still in the Christian space, Tyndale and Crossway, and so they have those. They don't have that financial pressure on them to perform and to perform at a certain level. Mm. But a publisher is bringing so much to an author as far as value with in the editorial process and the sales, with sales and with marketing, with distribution, with inventory, all of those, all that overhead that goes into, the portion that a publisher takes from a book. I think the other thing, it's always helpful to remind authors that there, during a season, there's always multiple books being released. And so a publisher can give so much attention and focus, for a short amount of time. And then there is that, whatever, 6-12 months after a book comes out, that there is a lot more onus on the author to be actively engaged in marketing the book, because the publisher is just moving on to the next project, moving on to the next book.
Yeah. Well, and that's why with Author Academy Elite, I really tried to say, can we give authors as much as possible a traditional book experience, but with them retaining the rights and royalties? Mm. And it's been a unique, exciting dance. Mm. I think we've really turned some heads in the sense of you guys do an author conference and you have an author award ceremony and you can get foreign rights and, the author does have a say in the cover. And then there's also naturally some drawbacks, but I think that what we're going to share on Wednesday is really a cutting edge model. Do you think the traditional publisher has seen his day? And I know we're not going to quote you on that all over because you got a lot of friends, but put it this way. I'll say it this way. If a traditional publisher is not willing to adjust their methods, we'd even started by saying all the differences from 2004 to today. Will they be irrelevant if a traditional publisher does not shift? What do you think? I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. No.
Irrelevant is very possibly, and because disruption is happening across the publishing industry. And the traditional publishers have to sit up and take notice. And it, you know, if you as an author, if you have a vertical audience, I talk about this all the time, you know, that deep vertical audience that you have engagement with, that's when you need the traditional publisher less. So that's why cultivating that, you know, vertical audience is so important.
Here, we'll end with this great question. Can you give best tips for selecting a subtitle?
Yeah, I sure can. I mean, yes. I love those subtitle conversations. I really enjoy those because the subtitle should, oh my goodness. I'm stumbling because there's so many things that's like firing in my brain right now.
Well, let me give you 30 seconds while I say this.
Okay.
I've seen most authors bury the benefits with the subtitle. In other words, people pick it up, the cover looks good, the title's intriguing, and then you read the subtitle and it's like, but what's the payoff? What's the benefit for me as the reader? Because I'm going to invest $15, but more than that, 4 or 5 hours, which is more costly, and I don't know what the benefit is. And yet, Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Work Week, right here, he says, escape the 9-to-5, live anywhere, and join the new rich.
Yep.
Those are pretty big benefits right there. What do you think?
Yep. You have to remove all hurdles and barriers. Do not be cryptic with your subtitle. Do not try to be
cute,
super creative. No, make it do just exactly what you said. Like, what is this book about? Answer the WIFM question, please.
And that's what's in it for me.
What's in it for me?
That's good. I like that. Last thing, Tom. Last thing here. And anything you want to share to someone who says, I need this. I've been enjoying this, these marketing calls. I know that you're helping us with Author Academy Elite. You're helping other publishers too. Do you have a podcast yet? Are you going to have a podcast?
I've had several people talk to me about that, and there's somebody that's like ready to set it up for me, and I don't yet.
Don't yet.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Maybe that's my New Year goal.
Oh, I like that. Awesome. Well, listen, I love what you've been doing. You've been helping me too with Unhackable. I'm one of these people where it's like, look, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and if I am, I need to leave the room. So I really invite a lot of people that are key. And when I built the Unhackable team, I said, Tom knows the traditional world. And it's foolish for me to just say, well, you know, I won't say a harsh word. Well, forget the traditional publishers. You know, that's foolish. I need to say, how can I be innovative, but yet play within the publishing industry? Do you think that's wise advice for anybody?
Well, I think it's wise advice. Absolutely. But there are many people that have this heart's desire, burning desire to publish, to write and to publish. And some people need more hand-holding than others. And I think that helps you determine which like direction should you be pursuing.
Love it.
If you're a natural born entrepreneur, then maybe self-publishing is like the way to go. But if you're just focused on the craft of writing and that's what you love best, but the rest of it is like a big mystery, then you should look at the other options that are out there.
Yeah.
Whether it's with you or a traditional publisher or some type of hybrid model.
Fantastic. Well, folks, You got the link. Share it with your friends. Share it with any author who needs help. But this is a free training on Wednesday. It's the final training of 2020. And Tom, thank you so much. Yeah. And you have a website as well.
Yes, adropofink.pub. A drop of ink, I-N-K dot pub, P-U-B.
Awesome. And for Elise, who says, hey, I got to catch the replay, don't worry. And when you register, we'll send out the replay as well. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, and all of our own authors as well. Laura, I think you're right. That's what makes AAE great is it's not traditional. It's not self. We try to make it be the best. Yeah. Tom, thanks for all the value you gave today.
Absolutely. Great to see you. Great to be with you.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.